2021 Concord School District Charter Commission debate for District A, featuring candidates who are running in wards 1, 2, 3, and 4 to represent those areas. My name is Tony Chanella, the editor of Concord, New Hampshire Patch. Thank you for being with us. This debate is being sponsored by Patch as well as WKXL Radio, 1450 AM and 103.9 FM, and Concord TV. We want to thank our co-sponsors for not only bringing this information to you, but also doing a number of municipal debates this year. If you miss anything during the time that you're watching now, you can go to yourconquertv.org as well as the Patch site and watch all of the broadcasts at that time in their entirety. We have five candidates running for the District A seat. They are Tom Croteau, Matthew Fisk, Tracy Lesser, Patrice Myers, and Benton Chick Smith. In a moment, they will all have two-minute opening statements. We will go through a number of questions in more of a conversational style, not necessarily a debate. And then at the end, they will all each get two-minute closing statements. We're going to start with Tom. You're first.
Okay. Well, thanks for having us, Tony, and I appreciate that. And I thanks to the sponsors for having us out here as well. I'm Tom Croteau. I live in West Concord and District A, and I am asking for your vote in this election because I am very, very interested in how the Charter Commission works, what it does, what it may need to do in the future, and as a lifelong educator, it gives me that opportunity to stay in the educational spectrum. I have a little bit about me, but not a lot. I was a teacher in Concord for many years, 20 or so. I was a building principal at a middle school, and middle school is very special, I love it. And then I left there as a retirement and decided that I wasn't really ready to retire after a couple of years and became a deputy sheriff. But in the meantime, I ran for school board because I wanted to stay in that whole educational process. I loved most of the time that I was on the Concord School Board. I loved hearing from constituents about issues. I loved listening to my fellow board members talk about their experiences and their understanding of education. Everything about it was usually something that I didn't have to be dragged to a meeting. I think in 9 years, I think I missed maybe three meetings, and that includes all of the support meetings. So it's not something that I expected to be paid a lot, expected to get a lot of gratuity out of. It just was something I enjoyed doing, and I think the Charter Commission will give me that opportunity again.
Thank you, Tom. Matthew?
Great. Well, first, it was great to meet and to say hello again to the other candidates this evening. My background, I grew up here in Concord. I attended Concord schools K through 12, Dame School, Broken Ground School, and graduated from Concord High School. Like Mr. Croteau, I'm a lifelong educator. I taught at Concord High School for 8 years at New Hampton School, and I'm currently working at Bow High School. The reason I'm running for the Charter Commission is I'm passionate about education, and I've had a phenomenal experience as a student in the Concord schools, working for the Concord schools. I have two sons, a junior and a freshman, who attend Concord High School. And I know this is a great school district. And so I'm running in large part to give back. I've been able to work in different school systems. For a while, I lived in a different school district. And so I think I bring a different, unique perspective to the Charter Commission's work. I've never run for office before. I have parents who still live in Concord, so I think I bring to the board, or to would bring to the Charter Commission, the experience of having worked and lived in different districts, the experience of having kids who attend Concord schools, parents who are taxpayers who still live in Concord. So I'm really appreciative of this opportunity to run and to meet these other folks who are, I'm sure, equally as passionate about education in the city.
Thank you. Tracy?
Hi, good evening. It was nice meeting you all also tonight. My name is Tracy Lesser. My husband and I moved to Concord 17 years ago, and once we fell in love with the place and decided that this was the school district that we wanted our children to attend school in. And so I also am a lifetime educator. I have worked at the Manchester School District, I've worked in the private school, and I've been at NHTI here in Concord as a chemistry professor for the last 14 years. One of the reasons that I wanted to run for this is to give back to the Concord School District. Both of my children are currently in the school district. I have a freshman at Concord High who has had an amazing education at Concord, and I have a sprightly little second grader over at Beaver Meadows School who is thriving and doing very well there. And so this was a great opportunity for me to use my experiences in both public, private, and higher education. I understand the needs of our school and where our graduates are going and the funding issues that the schools face. So this is my chance to give back to the school district that has served us so well.
Thank you, Tracy. Patrice?
Thank you, Tony, and thank you to everyone who has sponsored this and set it up. This is my first of eight, so I'm a little nervous, but anyway. My name is Patrice Myers. I have run before. I ran for school board 2 years ago and state rep last year. I'm retired from state service. I'm also a Air Force veteran, linguist. And we moved back to New Hampshire in 95 after military service. And after I retired from the state, I decided I wanted to get involved with the community, and what better way to do it than to go into the politics, because that's important. You know, it affects all of our lives. And quite honestly, the reason why I decided to run for the school charter commission is because I read the article in the Concord Patch about the Concord School District charter's past, how it developed, how it got to where it is, and I was interested in working to make it better. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrice. Mm-hmm. Chick?
Good evening. My name is Chick Smith, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to present some background. I have some educational experience in terms of working in it. I was a guidance counselor at Merrimack Valley for 9 years. I came to Concord as a result of being in the Air Force on active duty during the Vietnam War. I got out of that, got my master's degree from Springfield in education, got a job in Concord with the Park and Recs Department, and then from there I went to Merrimack Valley High School, had an opportunity to get back in the military part-time with the New Hampshire Air National Guard, and then went full-time in the Air National Guard and retired from there as the Assistant Adjutant General in 2003. I've been a citizen in Concord since 1979, a taxpayer. My son went through Walker School, Runlet, Concord High, then to college. When I retired in 03, which makes me older than most of the people here, I did a lot of volunteer work. I was a volunteer at Walker School, at Rumford School. I got involved with the Friends program, was a senior friend for a child from the time he was 8 till he aged out of the program at 18. I spent many nights at the homeless shelter. I was a CASA volunteer. I've done a lot of volunteer work. I was also a paid coach at Concord High School and the golf coach. In addition to that, I've been involved with the Veterans Cemetery up in Bosquen, and I've also served as a ombudsman for a program called ESGR, which basically solves issues between guardsmen and their employers. So I've got a lot of hands-on experience with youth and at different levels in the high school level, also at the elementary school level. The reason I wanted to do this is sort of a strategic look at different things. I've been a lot of hands-on stuff, but not on a strategic level to look at some of the programs that impact the students and youth of this town. And that's basically why I'm running.
Thank you. Chick, let's start with you first, and then we'll, same question for everyone. If you need me to repeat it, I will, and then we'll go this way up to the next one. The previous Charter Commission was a decade ago. There were two major changes that came from that meeting. The charter was taken from the legislature and given to Concord voters, and they created district school board members, as well as a supermajority provision for approval of anything for the approval of the Charter Commission. Is there anything that you know of in your mind right now from the previous Charter Commission that you think now they should have considered?
If I get the makeup of the commission correct, there is three on the school board, for example, there are three at-large members, and there are six members by district. So there's two from each of the three districts. I think that's a good system, although I would consider increasing the number of at-large members to six and potentially having one in each of the three districts. Because I think if you look at where the makeup of the students are, the schools, if you take Concord High, Runlet, Abbott Downing, and Krista McAuliffe, they're basically in District B. The students don't necessarily all come from District B, but they're in District B. So I would consider increasing the number of at-large members to six, and then potentially reduce the other ones to three, one from each of the districts.
Got it. So we went from nine at-large to three at-large and six district, and you would propose changing it to six at-large and then one from each district.
I would consider that. I'm not suggesting that as a proposal, but I'm saying I think that's something that could be looked at.
To look at. Anything else?
Nope, not at this stage.
Thank you. Patrice, same question.
I think that I don't quite understand the charter going back to the voters, because I don't recall voting on a budget. I know they have hearings and you have input. You can go as a community member and have input, but I don't recall ever voting on a budget or any of the things that the school district proposes. So I would like to take a look at that.
So meaning add in provisions to the charter where residents would have more of a say in the business of the board or
yes.
the district?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
Right now I've gone deer in the headlights.
That's fine. Thank you. Tracy?
Hi. I'm going to slightly, I'd like to comment on what the two previous speakers have said. And my looking at this is that we have four elementary school catchment areas, and they're each very unique, and they draw from different populations in the city. And I would actually like to see an increase in the number of representatives coming from more representative around the city. As it stands now, the ward lines and the school district lines don't necessarily line up, so you can have a higher end of your representatives being from one of the elementary schools versus other ones, and you can leave elementary schools without representation. And so I would like to look at that and see if there is a way, because we now have these four elementary schools rather than neighborhood schools, of making sure that there's more equal representation across the city lines. So I would like the charter to consider that. And then I do think that the school budget is a very complicated thing, and that we have an elected board, and that board needs to be able to make decisions and look at that independently of the voters. The voters choose the board, and then the board gets to set the decisions based on the information they're receiving directly from the schools and the needs and wants of the schools.
Thank you. Tracy, I'm going to follow up real quick just so I understand, and I think I get your point, but I want to make sure I'm getting it, right? So as an example, there is Broken Ground and Millbrook Primary in Ward 10, but most of the students live in Ward 8 and Ward 9, and there are no schools in those two wards. But the District C person is elected from those three. So are you saying that you would like to have the wards, the school board members elected by wards, or making sure one only lives in one ward, or
not necessarily
develop that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. Not necessarily by ward, but maybe redefining where the district boundaries are, or looking at it to make sure that each of the elementary catchment areas does have a representative from it. You know, some of the wards, like wards 3 and 4, the students are split between two elementary schools. So you could have someone elected from wards in District A, both representatives, not represent the Beaver Meadow area. And you could end up without, as someone in Beaver Meadow, though we have great representation in Beaver Meadow right now. And so I think that's true when I was looking at the ward maps for all of them. And so it's something I would like to just look more carefully at and see if there was a solution to a more equitable spread of representation around the city.
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. So when the Charter Commission met 10 years ago, I think one of the best decisions that was made was the decision to have representatives on the school board from the different districts. And I think that was an important decision because it did give more of a voice to citizens throughout the city of Concord to make sure that there wasn't one ward that was overrepresented and another ward that was underrepresented. So I also think that, Tracy and Mr. Smith said previously, I think that we could, as a Charter Commission, look at the number of people who are on the school board, where those representatives are coming from. I think one of the most important aspects of local government is transparency. And I think one of the most important things the Charter Commission can do is to ensure that the structure of the school board, the structure of the school district, is done in such a way that there is complete transparency, so that voters, once they've elected their representatives, are able to engage with those representatives in meaningful ways and be able to hold accountable our representatives through the electoral process.
Thank you, Matthew. Tom?
So I have nothing to add. Actually, I do. And I like Chick's answer. I like the idea of having more at large. But I have to say right from the get-go, none of these issues should be off the table if a Charter Commission is elected, when the Charter Commission is elected. All of these issues should be discussed. Every one of them has validity. At this point, my thinking, and it, as I said in one of my things that I spoke about before, sometimes I change my mind in midstream, the moment I hear different information. But at this point, I like the at-large ideas. Having been on the school board, I have to tell you that I never really felt like we had too many folks over the 9 years that I was there, too many folks who were one-mindedness about their school. It seemed as though, it felt as though every member, when they got on board, they were a Concord School District school board member, and they pitched in for everybody, and particularly around budget time. I would have heard, I thought, things about that, but I never did. So at large, folks, it would take that sort of play out if you were to have people who were one-mindedness about getting a playground at a certain building or getting more books or library materials or what have you. But again, for discussion. Two other things. The treasurer currently of the Concord School District is elected by the voters, and so is the clerk. And so my feeling, and again, open for some great discussion, would be that let's talk about whether or not those should be appointed by the board. Are there advantages to having a board-appointed treasurer, a board-appointed clerk? Are there disadvantages? And should we at least talk about it? So those are my ideas about what the Charter Commission did. And having it be in the Concord's hands is much nicer.
Tom, I want to just follow up,
sure,
since you are the only school board member, and say that I agree with your comment about that. But I can say that there was one instance in 2006 that I was personally involved with, when I was surprised that the Walker School at the time did not have a hot breakfast, and all the other schools did. And one of the reasons was it was smaller. A bunch of us who had toured the Whopper School at the time, and I'll make this real quick, had expressed concern about it because mm-hmm. the poorer children of the city were going to that elementary school. And it seemed, it was quickly resolved pretty fast after a few people said something about it. But I agree with that statement. When everybody gets collectively, there isn't that kind of city council or state rep fight about finances. They all, you're right on that. That's a great point to make. Tom, I'm going to stick with you and then go back with everybody else.
Okay.
10 years ago, the charter was approved easily by the city to bring it back from the legislature. But the district's board seats barely passed. It was 35 or 36 votes, if I recall correctly, at the time. And a number of your later colleagues, when you were elected to the board, who were involved in trying to kind of hijack that. Were you surprised by that at all?
Not at all. Listen, I think that folks who run for the Concord School Board genuinely, they're not in there for the money. Let's put that off the table right now. One of the reasons that I would never want the city council to oversee the Concord School Board is because I think it's two entirely different jobs with two entirely different folks. Concord School Board members, to my knowledge, having followed them since I was a teacher here and as a board member, have always been folks who really care about education. And they really understand education. And when they don't, they ask great questions of people who do. And so, you know, when I ask a question, 8 of my board members all learn about something new that maybe a superintendent or a building committee person has found out. So I really think that that whole idea of I'm kind of losing my track here, but I just don't think that there is an issue. I really don't. I think that everything works the way it should work. I think it's time that we look at the charter, take a look at it. It's 10 years. Does it still work now?
Thank you. Matt, were you surprised by that at all?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, I also read the Patch article that gave a great background and history of the Charter Commission 10 years ago. I would say that, you know, as a social studies teacher, when I think about politics, right, there's national politics that get really nasty, and then there's, you know, local politics. And everybody who's up here at these tables has given back to the community in meaningful ways, whether through military service, whether through service in law enforcement, or through education. And I think that is, you know, when I talk to students, like, this is why you should get involved, because this is where you can make really meaningful decisions that impact your fellow citizens. And so I would echo what Mr. Croteau said, that I do think the people who are part of the school board are good-intentioned people. That said, I think that transparency and making sure that the decisions that the board make are done so with a significant amount of public input is vitally important. I think the work of the Charter Commission, I think everything has to be done in the open. I appreciate what Mr. Croteau said about, you know, sometimes like you're presented with new information and you change your opinion. I think a Charter Commission member has to be willing to say, I have these opinions, but I'm going to listen with an open mind and open heart to those who might have a different set of opinions. I think that's really important as the Charter Commission goes forward in this next iteration.
Thank you.
So I really am in very much agreement of what's been previously said before me. I have spoken before the school board on a couple of occasions. I've written letters to school board members. I've always received responses to those letters, great questions back at me, positive response. And I think that's the important thing, is that the public has the ability to come and comment, that it is transparent. I loved when the school board meetings were on Zoom, and that I could, instead of getting a sitter and coming to school board meetings, I could watch the school board meetings, really find out what was going on in real time. You know, I like that kind of public access. I think that we're all here because we want to give back to our community. and that, you know, the transparency is huge, and the opening it to the public and getting the public's opinion is huge.
Patrice?
I've been going to the school board meetings to include the committee meetings, and sometimes I'm the only one that goes. So as far as oversight, I think I'd have to take a look, not necessarily the city council, but they do need some oversight. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what checks and balances are all about. That's why our founders put the checks and balances in place, so that there is no one agency that is going to run rogue. And the possibility exists. So I do believe that some oversight is necessary.
Thanks.
Tony, I'm confused with the question. I'm not sure what your question was.
So in 10 years ago, members of the school board organized to try and hijack the one single change that the Charter Commission raised, which was to go to district seats. And I was just asking, you know, when that happened, were you surprised that school board members would actively try and stop the one reform that was actually raised by the Charter Commission?
Well, I don't think it's particularly ethical for somebody to do that, if that answers your question. I don't think that's necessarily a good idea, and I think what everybody else has said is good, and transparency is correct. But I also think that and I don't know if you're going to get into the autonomy of the school board as it relates to...
That's coming up.
Okay, then I won't go there. Okay, now I understand the question anyway, and I agree. I don't think that ethically is a right way to approach things, no.
Sure. Thank you. So we're going to go with Chicken. We'll go this way. Same question again to everyone. Some members of the Concord Education Association, which is the district's largest union, have privately raised concerns that the Charter Commission, of having a Charter Commission, believing that somehow Concord voters would actually get the ability to be able to vote on future contracts. In Penacook, which is in Ward 1, students and parents in the Merrimack Valley School District can meet at town meeting and actually get to have the ability to be able to vote on contracts and other things that the school district deals with. Why shouldn't Concord School District residents have the same rights as Penacook parents and nearly every other parent in the state other than Manchester, Nashua, and Dover, I believe, and have the ability to be able to vote on union contracts and other issues?
Because we're not set up to do that. I don't know the background why that's set up that way, but we're not set up to do that, and I don't find that particularly bad that we're not set up to do it that way.
Thank you. Well, that's the issue of the autonomous school board being able to not
the Charter Commission
is part of the process of being.
But
able
the autonomy
to,
part, you could make the same argument the city council. What's the autonomy of the city council? They answer to the voters that elect them for positions. The autonomy of the school board is exactly the same way. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense unless somebody can give me more information than I already know to put them under the city council. I mean, I don't see that as a viable option.
So just to be clear in the question, though, I'm going to ask
okay.
the city council question
All right.
later.
All right.
But part of the autonomy is also that town meeting in every other community in the state, other than Manchester, Nashua, Dover, and Concord, has the ability to meet and vote on budgets. So part of it's not just a Concord city council that could have oversight of the Concord school district budget. The Concord school district is autonomous compared to every other town because town meeting votes on those things.
Okay, I could see that as something that could be discussed in this charter commission, but I'm not at this point ready to make a statement pro or con on that.
Excellent, thank you.
Well, as I stated in my opening statement, I the voters should have a say in how their money is being spent. You know, an analogy, you know, you go to a store to buy something, you know how much you can afford and you know what you want, but you get to this store and they say, no, you can't have that. You're gonna buy this, you're gonna pay this much, and if you don't, there are penalties. I'm sorry. That's not choice. And it's not openness, it's not transparency. I believe that the voters should have a say in how much they pay for what they're getting.
Thank you. Tracy?
I absolutely think that the school board should independently be able to set the budget for the school district, and it should not go before the voters. I think that we are a city. Most school districts nationwide that are cities that are this size, the school board sets the budget. The school board is privy to information, and that the regular voter may not, who does not listen to every single school board meeting, know. I would hate to see money cut from the school's budget because somebody wanted to do a separate project in the city. I think these budgets need to be completely separate, and that the school board needs to look at the issues. That's why we're electing them. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to look at these issues, and they absolutely need to be able to set the budget based on the current needs of the schools. Concord has excellent schools. We produce amazing graduates. The kids from Concord that I have in my college classes are unbelievably prepared for college level work, and I would never want to do anything to compromise the type of graduate I'm seeing out of the Concord School District.
Thank you. I want to follow up with you real quick, Tracy. So in Salem and Merrimack, which are around 30,000 and 33,000 people, they're towns. They're not city charters. They're towns. All of the voters in those two towns get to vote on all of their town stuff and school stuff. In the Concord School District, which is currently the city of Concord, is 44,000, and the Merrimack Valley School District is about 6,500, which means that the Concord School District is literally less than 10% larger than Salem and Merrimack. So Salem and Merrimack are able to get, you know, have really pretty, actually Merrimack has one of the best school districts in the state, and also turn around graduates that are of quality. Their voters also make decisions. They almost never reject any school budget. But there, and I understand your point, they also have school boards, but they're not much smaller than Concord, and yet they have more rights technically. That doesn't concern you?
It doesn't, and I would be interested. I'm a data person, I'm a researcher at heart, and I would love to see a national study of size of schools, school boards, how they're elected, what gets rejected. I think I'm kind of a data geek. That would be super fun for me. So I can't really answer your question on the percentages there unless I had an entire data table in front of me to analyze.
Sure, thank you.
So I understand where the question is coming from. I think folks who are long-term residents of the city of Concord, especially those who are retired and on a fixed income, I understand where that question is coming from. I think it is important that the school board have the autonomy to set the budget for the school and to negotiate union contracts. We are in the United States, we're a democratic republic. Our system of government was set up to allow the voters, the people of the country, the citizens, to elect representatives that would represent their best interests. I will be the first to say I don't always agree with decisions that a school board makes, having lived both in Concord and in another school district. Certainly did not always agree with the decisions that were made. But I was able to go to meetings and voice my opinion. I was able to go and cast a vote for or against a representative to the school board based on how I thought they represented my interests. The one thing, I'm not sure if it will come up, having lived in a different school district for a period of time that had a tax cap, I saw what that did to the school district and I saw the damage that it did. And so I have, as a graduate of Concord Schools, I agree these are fantastic educators who work in this district. We have in the city awesome kids, and I would not want to do anything that would harm the quality of education that our kids receive in Concord.
Matt, real quick, what was the other community?
Newfound.
Okay.
Yeah, I lived in New Hampton, part of the Newfound Regional School District.
So and all of those residents voted on their town and school budgets.
They did, with the caveat being that they were limited by a 2% tax cap, which, if you follow through with the data and the math, if the cost of health insurance goes up X number of dollars, there comes a point where 2% means you're cutting staff, you're cutting resources, you're not paying for things. And I would hate to not give the school the school board the power and independence to do so.
Not to be argumentative, but the tax cap was probably in place because it was Newfound, which is one of the more affluent communities in the state.
The difference being that Newfound was a conglomeration of five different towns. And Bridgewater very wealthy. However, Danbury and Bristol were not, and so it had.
But which community did you live in?
New Hampton.
Oh, you lived in New Hampshire. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Tom?
So I'm surprised to hear that anyone from the CEA would raise concerns about that.
Can I take one second? Let me take one second. And so the concern is that the Charter Commission would get elected, and then the Charter Commission would allow the community members to vote at a town meeting style or have an up and down vote on their contract, similar to Penacook. So instead of even allowing that possibility to happen, depending on who gets elected, they did not want to have one at all. So that's the.
Sure.
Does that explain it a little better?
It does, and you know, I just don't think that anything but autonomy, fiscal autonomy for the Concord School Board is what should happen. And I think about town voting that I've seen over the years, having listened carefully to a lot of the surrounding towns, and have failed kids. Have failed parents, have failed teachers, have failed school buildings. And I know it's tax driven, and I know that it's income driven. I know that on the Concord School District School Board, a lot of work goes into keeping a level tax funded base. And it's because they care about how that all works for people who are struggling to pay their taxes. So I think that a town meeting approach, a voice vote on negotiation of contracts, I see our negotiators who are from within the district, who know many of the people, who know that they're negotiating with, who know the ins and outs of the finances. They work long and hard to try and work decent deals that will keep good professionals in our district, and to recruit good professionals in our district. And if it were to be a vote of a large group, I'm not sure that would continue to happen. Just one last thing.
Yep, real quick. An
example is full-day kindergarten of a couple of years ago. Full-day kindergarten was something that the board members felt tremendous civic pressure to have. At the same time, we were trying to buy some heating systems and switch over our way of heating, which was going to cost a ton of money, and some other things, buses. And as much as we all wanted full-day kindergarten, we had to say no that first year. People kept up the pressure, positive and negative, and when we were able to do it, we did it the next year. So people, the board members listen, the constituents have their opportunities to talk, and they get messages through.
They also ousted, I believe, two school board members that year, and you barely won your race because I remember I covered it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. there was rabble with that one.
Sure. With any contested issue, you're going to find that, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the 2021 Concord School District A Charter Commission debate. I'm Tony Shinella. Concord's political, we'll go with Tom. These are kind of real easy. Let's go through a few of these real quick. We've kind of skirted around the issue of an autonomous school district. Concord's political system, both at the city council level with a strong city manager, as well as Merrimack Valley and the Concord School District, are not like any other community in the state. And actually, this city is not like any, there's nearly no communities like this across the country that have two school districts, one where there's a town meeting form of government and one that's autonomous, as well as not having a strong mayor like Manchester does. That frustrates a number of people, but I'd like to come up with a get yes or no answers, and you can expand on those. We'll start with Tom on some possible reforms that you may or may not take if you get elected. The first one being, Tom, and we'll go all the way around, and we'll start with Chick back. Should the Concord City Council have oversight over the school budget in any way?
No. And really simply, they have their job to do, and it's a big job. And the school board has their job to do. Two entirely different jobs. And you have skilled people at each.
Thank you.
No, because I believe that the school board can and will listen to their constituents and continue to make the Concord schools the best that they can be. So no.
Thank you.
Also no. I believe we have public opinion. Public is able to speak at all the school board meetings, and the public has the ability to elect their representatives.
Your turn, Patrice.
Mm. Let's go back to putting it under the legislature.
Okay.
I'm a no.
No? Okay. Chick, we'll start with you and then go back. School board members are paid a stipend currently. Should they be paid a salary or more than what they get now?
They should get what the city council members get.
Okay. Which is exactly what they get now.
Correct. Yep.
Agreed.
Yep.
Agreed. I think we get great people who are civically minded, and they're working to do the best for our schools.
This is what local government's about. It's about people, citizens, stepping up and doing the best to represent their community. So I agree.
So I think of professional ball players. Did you want just a yes or no on that?
No, you can have a yes or no, okay. and then you can expand if you want.
I think what I've heard from professional ball players is that it's not the money so much, it's the respect. And in a way, that makes me think about the Concord School Board and the City Council. They work tirelessly. They work tirelessly, all of them, with committees that feed into the larger groups and meetings and so on. So should there be a little extra money in there? Perhaps. I think it's certainly something to talk about. I think it's certainly something to talk about at the committee. At the commission to take a look around and see how it shapes up with other areas around. Now, granted, there are no other areas that have an autonomous school board, but there are certainly plenty of other city councils. And I do think they should be equal, as a matter of fact.
Tom, we're going to stay with you for a second. I think most of you, except Patrice, have said you do not support the school district, you do not support the residents of the community having any say over contracts and other things with the school district. There was, before the Charter Commission started, before it was actually a Charter Study Commission and then a Charter Commission, there was a bill before the legislature which was approved that would, when the legislature controlled the charter, that would allow the residents to have an up or down vote on any bonding over $5 million. Would you support something like that, yes or no? And would you support it, if you said no, would you support it if it were non-binding? In other words, there was a mechanism by which to get a pulse of the community over something. Now, the other part of that is that the residents can go and have the ability in the charter to be able to have an initiative petition. So, I mean, they could have an initiative petition process to get a pulse of the community. Do you have any thoughts on that? Yes or no?
I do.
Or in support on that?
So my answer is I would not support that particular line of thinking. And the reason is this, that I've seen times where we've had ability to bond for things that we needed to act quickly. And to act quickly, but also giving opportunity for voice votes, the two don't really match a lot. So there's a lot of time that people are able to, even with contracts, are able to whisper into Tom Curto's ear and say, hey, you know what I think about these contracts? Here's what you ought to think about. And that, you know, that may or may not be used. So I don't think people are totally excluded. But I do think that there are times that Jack Dunn or any other business administrator might say, you know what, the bonding is right now at an all-time low, and we've got 2 weeks to get this thing started, yay or nay. And so you have to make a decision.
Thank you. Matt?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. At this point, I would say no, I would not support that. But I think it's also important to know that, you know, as a Charter Commission member, I would absolutely love to find out more information and hear other perspectives. But for that very reason, I think that, and that's one of the reasons I support an autonomous school board, is to give the people we elect the opportunity to act in the best interests of our students. You know, I was working in a different school system, and that very issue came up where a decision had to be made really quickly about a bonding issue for a new building that was being constructed. And to have that flexibility to make the decision was important at the time.
Thank you. Tracy.
I absolutely echo what the previous speakers have said, and I, you know, can say as we're even moving forward, I don't think that there's a voter in Concord that doesn't realize that Runlet is going to cost money to the voters soon, and they have an opportunity right now to ask every school board candidate who's running what their opinion is on the budget for Runlet, come to all of the sessions that the school board has offered to bring public input into the Runlet and be on the planning and design commissions. There's a lot of opportunity for the public to be involved in these, but the school board is going to come to a point where they're going to have to make a decision quickly, and they need to have the ability to do so.
Thank you. Trees.
I have to wonder how often that issue comes up where a bond has to be done right away, because I've been going to those meetings, and it's been going on for a while. So my issue would be, why haven't they gone? Well, they don't go to the voters anyway, but why wouldn't they be able to go to the voters when they're in the planning process? Have the voters do that. You know, I don't see any urgency happening often enough to say, no, the voters shouldn't have a voice.
Thank you. Chick?
I think the voters do have a voice. I think they have opportunities when these things occur to express their opinions. And I think the people that make the decision take that into play when they make their final decision. So I think there is somewhat of a mechanism. So I would agree with what everybody else has said. Also, in some of my background is that you can't know everything, and you can't make a decision until you have all the information. So while I leave myself in the position of saying no currently, if other information came along at some point in time, it could sway me the other way.
Thank you. Chick, we're going to start with you on this one. And I'm going to give a shout out again. And this poor woman, I don't know who she is, but this is her third shout out in a third debate. Carissa Coro, who is the owner of Educating for Good, recently made a compelling case that the Merrimack Valley School District should be merged with the Concord School District. She made a number of issues, mostly around the TIF district with Exit 17 and the Penacook tax rate, which is, I believe, I think it's around $8 or $9 more per thousand than it is here. One thing she didn't mention, which I happen to have some opinion about and have written about a lot, is that this actually would solve at least one of the major problems, which is that we would not need a new middle school, because the Merrimack Valley has a high school and a middle school. They're both really recent. And since a third of our Runlet is only 30-something years old anyway, it could easily be renovated for much less money than the $68 to $80 million that they want to spend before we had the inflation hit. Who knows what it will be. It also would her point was more of healing the city, because we have this divide where one and a half wards, which you represent the other members of those wards, are you know, kind of off in this other world and paying quite expensively. The last part of that is there are many parents in Salisbury and Webster and other communities who could join other school districts, and they don't want to pay the high property taxes that they pay with the Merrimack Valley School District. So they could actually merge with Franklin, Loudoun, and Canterbury, or other school districts could merge with Pittsfield, and it would assist Franklin and Pittsfield in creating regional school districts. She didn't mention that, but there's like a cavalcade of things that could happen. But it can happen unless the Charter Commission allows the ability to be able to have the voters have some sort of say in something to drive the school board members to say, you should probably sit down with Merrimack Valley and let's try and heal the divide in the community. Do you have any thoughts in that, in any of those things that I've said?
I know there's a question in there somewhere, but I'm still not sure what it is. I worked in the Merrimack Valley School District for 10 years, and I'm very familiar with Salisbury, Webster, Loudoun, and it is somewhat of a different animal than it is here in Concord. But I don't think that's the purview of this charter. I think if the people of Penacook and if Merrimack Valley wants to come to Concord and talk about that as an issue for the future, that's fine. But I don't think that's the purview of this commission.
Thank you. Just to follow up, so the you could not do it with the current charter that you have now because you would not be able to, you would have to allow a mechanism by which the city of Concord voters would be able to cast an up or down vote to merge the two systems. That's
if Penacook wanted to merge.
And if Concord wanted Penacook to be in the whole city, yes, right?
Yeah, okay.
Well, Penacook voters could have the ability. They could go to town meeting and say, we want to get out of our own school district and move to Concord. But Concord voters have to approve that as well, which means there has to be
But wouldn't the legislature get involved in that too? Because didn't they set up the...
They would have to probably go before the state.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's a long-term... If that's an issue, I think that's something long-term that they need to start looking at, but I'm not sure that would be the purview of what this group is doing.
Thank you.
So am I understanding that if that were to happen, they would have to have voter input?
The city of Concord would be able to... The residents of the Concord School District would have to have some role.
Would
although
have to.
The way it is now, I guess the school board could decide to do it.
Right.
But ideally, you would want to be able to have... Because you don't know what the mechanism... But we don't know what the merge of the 6,500 families would be because they pay such a higher tax rate. We don't know how that would work. Tom knows that with Deerfield pays a fee to Concord. Would it be a whole city? Would it be a fee base? It could be anything.
Mm-hmm. On the surface, it sounds like a win-win situation, you know, because I've talked to some of the Penacook parents who don't like paying the taxes that they're paying, and they do have perfect schools, and they're all concerned about student numbers, you know, so... That might be a good idea. I would be willing to look at that.
Thanks.
For sure.
So if I were elected to this commission, this would be one of the questions I would want to ask a professional educational attorney and someone who understands state legislature, because I do not. And so until I researched the issue more and got information from someone who knew the law and knew all the legalities of it, I don't really have an opinion.
Okay. On your gut instinct, though, as an educator, do you think it's good that we have like 15% of the city that's in a separate district? Or not?
I don't know how city boundaries affect school districts. It's great teachers affect school districts and great staff. And
yeah.
So if you're living in a neighborhood and you're in an elementary school with amazing teachers, and I live in the next neighborhood and I'm at an elementary school with amazing teachers, we both have amazing teachers. And so I don't know enough about the issue to really say that.
I think it's when you look at the map and you look at, and I know people who live on the same street.
I live on
like,
one of those
that's
streets.
Like, it's like one of those things where it's, and the conversations over drinks and, you know, at the barbecue, you know, at the fire are interesting, but it's just, it's amazing. It's a very strange divide. It was interesting that she brought it up. I'm sorry, Matt, your turn.
No, I think it's a great question to ask. I read that article as well, just floated the idea of what would it be like if the districts merged. I did live in Penacook for a period of time, and before moving to New Hampton for a brief period, my oldest son attended Penacook Elementary School. My dad also worked at Merrimack Valley High School for 30-something years, so I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of both Merrimack Valley School District and the town of Penacook. I would say I also don't have a hard opinion either way. I think it is something that the Charter Commission could and certainly should look at. I think bringing in experts, bringing in public opinion, bringing in the residents from Penacook and opening it up, having a discussion, having people from Concord be able to weigh in. I think that's the important part of a charter commission is to be open to having public input. That's the transparency that I think is so important.
Thank you. Tom, I don't want to steal your time, but I did get the knock on the door.
Then I'm going to be very quick, okay? I echo exactly what Matt has just said. What a great opportunity for a charter commission to put it out there to the Concord and to the Penacook folks and Salisbury and others and say, you know, what do you think about this? You know, should we have something on the ballot? Should we have more discussion? Let's do an exploratory committee and maybe something goes on the ballot, not to have it happen, but to do more exploration. Maybe we would find that taxes would go up for everybody. Maybe we wouldn't. Maybe it would be terrific. I don't know. Certainly something we could talk about.
Thank you. So we're now with closing statements, and I want to thank the five candidates for answering a number of great questions. We're going to start with Tom and go to Chick. Tom, you have 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, again, this is going to be a close race because these folks know what they're talking about, and that's great. I would still ask for the voters' vote, but I shouldn't be sitting here if I didn't. I have to say that, you know, I've got a lot vested in this community. My wife was a worker at Beaver Meadow School for 30 some odd years. My kids all went there. I've got great experiences. I've had great teachers. I went through the Concord School District myself. I just love the place. I love everything about it. If you want a hard worker, you want someone who is not afraid to say, wait a second, I don't understand, tell me more. If you want someone who says, no, that just doesn't fly with me, I'm past all of those younger ages where, you know, I'm worried about those kind of things. I will listen to constituents very carefully. I will make opportunities for constituents to be able to talk. And that's really where, I hate the word transparency because I had to hear it so many years, but informed decision makers, you know, based on things they have listened to, I will make opportunities for them to be able to do that. And then we take a look at what everyone says and we figure out what ought to happen. But Charter Commission people are elected to make decisions.
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah, well, I just want to say thank you to the other candidates up here. Like I said before, sitting next to educators, people who served in the military. So really appreciate your service and for being here and for working with the kids in our community. I'm running for the Charter Commission because I believe I have a set of experiences and a perspective that would be beneficial on the commission. I have a passion for teaching and learning, and my kids are in this school district and they have had a fantastic education, and I want to ensure that every child in Concord is able to have that same fantastic education by having a charter that is responsive to the citizens of the city and one that reflects the will of the people and reflects the best interests of Concord.
I also want to thank everyone. This has been a great conversation, and I've really enjoyed myself this evening. I would love to give back to my community. I would love to serve on the Charter Commission. I would open myself up to hearing what other people's opinions are, being part of the conversation, having the charter sessions open. Being an educator, I understand that education is a rapidly changing field, and that's why I feel very strongly that the school board needs to have the autonomy to set their budget and borrow if necessary, because education is changing so rapidly, as well as the face of this type of students in the city. Having 2 kids in the school district gives me a unique opportunity to know what's going on in our schools and talk to a lot of parents, and I would appreciate the opportunity to serve the community that we've grown to love.
And thank you all very much. Iron sharpens iron here. What I didn't mention in my opening remarks is that during my military career, and I was privileged to be able to teach my children at home. I developed my own curriculum, and my children went through, they got scholarships to college. I mean, it was successful for me. I have a very different view of how educating works, so I'm bringing that to the table. I'm bringing an ethic, a work ethic, that is, you know, you get the job done. You have a mission, you do it, you know, to the best of your ability. You work with others, you've got a team, and you work with others. Bottom line, I'm willing to work on this to make it better for everybody. You know, not just a few, not just, but everybody. You know, because there is always a win-win situation. So thank you very much. I would appreciate your votes.
I'm last, huh? As I said in the opening thing, I've done a lot of volunteer work in Concord, and I'm very proud of that, but it's always been at a grassroots level. And I'd really like the chance to do that at a more strategic level, a higher level, and I think that's what this commission does. And also my experience running an organization of 1,000 people, I learned one thing, that you can't know all the answers, but you have to have enough information to ask good, pertinent questions so you can get the right answers. And I think that's what this group has to do. They have to be willing to listen to people. They have to understand what they don't know and find the right answers in using good, sound data to make decisions. And I think I can do that. So I'd like to thank everybody. This has been a fun event.
Thank you so much. So now it's the voters' turn. The election will be held on Tuesday, November 2nd from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. All five candidates are on the ballot, and if you live in the Concord School District in Ward 1, 2, 3, and 4, or District A, you can vote for two. There are two seats for the five candidates. Thank you so much to Concord TV, WKXL Radio. I'm Tony Chinella from Patch. See you next time.